Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. If you've got something on your mind, a Bible question, a particular need at home, maybe some issue that you're struggling with, well, this is your opportunity to call and speak directly with us here at Basic Gospel. And you can do that by dialing this number, 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's just exciting to be here again on this Monday as we're talking about the gospel message and the power of the gospel message to make it clear for us to draw near to God. The work of Jesus Christ cleared the way once and for all. And I love this passage in Hebrews 10. The first four verses, the writer of Hebrews says this: "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near." So under the old covenant, the fact that the sin issue hadn't been dealt with finally and forever meant that there, that separation between the people and God was still there. The people stood at a distance. We see that in the book of Exodus, as Moses went up on the mountain, he drew near to God, but the rest stayed at the bottom, and there was a boundary drawn around the bottom of that mountain, and they were not to cross it. Well, that's that sin barrier that keeps us from drawing near to God. Now, those sacrifices that were offered in that Old Testament, that were offered continually, day after day, year after year, they could never take away sins. They only covered sins. But as soon as that sacrifice was made, then the sins started to count again. They started to keep a record of those again, and they had to wait till the next year for the Day of Atonement, and then the next year. So they just kept kicking the can down the road, so to speak.
Right.
That's what those Old Testament sacrifices. So they could never make perfect those who draw near. And he says, otherwise would they have not ceased to be offered. I hope, folks, you are hearing and seeing what the writer of Hebrews is saying there. If those sacrifices were sufficient to take away sin, they would have ceased being offered. But the fact that they could not take away sin meant they kept going in perpetuity,
right,
until Christ came. And when Christ entered the scene, he inhabited a body that God the Father had prepared for him. And on a day 2,000 years ago on Mount Calvary, he offered that body as the once-for-all sacrifice that would take away sin forever. So now that sin has been removed, we are made perfect. That's what Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are the holy ones." So we have been made perfect through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That gives us the confidence to draw near to God. And when we do so initially through faith, then we receive salvation. We're calling upon the name of the Lord. We're entering into that Holy of Holies. We are saved. But now that we're saved, we're constantly in the presence of God, and he is in our presence. We're in union with him. So what made that possible? It's the once-for-all sacrifice for Jesus Christ. So in verse 3 of Hebrews 10, he says, "But in these sacrifices," that's the old covenant sacrifices, "there is a reminder of sin every year." It was a reminder that the sin debt had not yet been removed, that there was still a record of sins that was standing against them and opposed to them. It was only at the cross that that record was taken away. It was nailed to the cross, never to be seen again.
Right.
That's good news.
Yes.
So the sin barrier has been removed. by the blood of Jesus. The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sins, but in contrast, the blood of Jesus took away our sins once and for all, made us perfect forever in the sight of God, and is the very power that gives us the confidence to draw near to God and to enjoy that relationship that we have with Him forever.
Yes, indeed. Bob, thanks for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. We want to hear from you. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742, and you can dial it up right now. We'd like to speak directly with you if you have a question or something you'd like to talk about. Give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. And friends, you know, wherever you hear or see the broadcast of Basic Gospel, well, we invite you to come to Lewisville, Texas for the United Bible Conference with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. That's coming up October 15th through the 17th right here in our ministry hometown of Lewisville, Texas, and we want you to be there. Visit basicgospel.net/united for all the information, and you can register while you're online and come in here and see and meet two of the finest Bible teachers you're going to find who expound the grace of God like no one else. Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, United. Again, the information and registration available at basicgospel.net/united. Well, once again, that phone number, we would love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. And Bob, in the meantime, a question from Eileen in Plano. Can Christ heal me of a vision problem?
Well, absolutely. He can heal. He can heal anybody of any particular illness or physical ailment that they may be suffering. Now, is there a promise that He is going to do so? Do we see that in the Word of God? And we don't see that promise for us here and now. What we do see is a promise of ultimate healing in the resurrection of these bodies. So when you and I are saved, and this is important for us to understand, and Eileen, I hope you are listening today, when you and I are saved, it is a spiritual salvation. We're born again of the Spirit. We're raised to walk in the newness of life spiritually. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they died that very day. They didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. And then their bodies became subject to sin and death. And so there was a point in time that those bodies died. And when those bodies died, their spirits left those bodies. Now, that's the same for you and for me. When we're born again of the Spirit of God, so we're working in reverse as far as Adam and Eve are concerned. They were made alive. God breathed His life into them. We see that in the Genesis account. They forfeited that life. And so we come into this world in the way that they were after sin. So we come into this world dead spiritually. So when we receive the good news of Jesus, then we receive that life, that spiritual life, the very life of Jesus Christ. We're regenerated by the Spirit of God. These old dead spirits are made alive together with Christ. Well, this new you lives in a body of flesh, and in this body of flesh, sin resides in its members. So this body is still subject to decay. It's still subject to aging. It's subject to death. And all of us one day are going to die physically. But when we die physically at that very moment, we are going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Now, there's going to come a time in the future when Jesus returns, and there's the great resurrection of the body. So we're going to get a brand new body. Okay. So our ultimate healing, as far as these bodies are concerned, is bound up in the promise of resurrection, that we are going to have resurrection bodies. So does everybody get healed of ailments here on planet Earth in this particular life? Well, no, they don't. We see that in the Bible. Not everybody that Jesus encountered that was ill, and certainly he probably passed a whole bunch of people that were suffering all kinds of physical ailments. And we see that as far as the apostles are concerned as well. But that doesn't mean that Christ can't heal, and it doesn't mean that he will not heal. So you entrust that to the Lord Jesus. You lift that up to him. But in the meantime, learn to be content with the fact that you are in Christ and Christ is in you, and that one day you're going to have a perfect vision. Mm-hmm. And when that day comes, you will be able to see perfectly, clearly, the face of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it will be a glorious, glorious moment. So if physical healing of your eyesight doesn't happen now, you can look forward to that day when the very first thing that you see is the person of Jesus.
Like Bart Millard said, I can only imagine.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
844-322-2742. That's the number to dial. We would love for you to come on in and be a part of this edition. If you have something you'd like to talk about, you can call and speak directly with us right now. That number again, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, a question from Ron. He says, the message being preached at our church compares us to a royal priesthood in 1 Peter 2:9. And to the priesthood in Malachi, too. The message seems to mix the old covenant with the new covenant. What can we apply to our lives from these scriptures?
Well, as far as Malachi is concerned, he's, you know, the prophet there is speaking to the Levitical priesthood. And the Levitical priesthood had all kinds of problems. They carried out their duties like they were supposed to do. Many times throughout the Old Testament, we see God chastising them because their hearts were far away from the one true God. And I think in the book of Malachi, that is one particular instance of it. So there was a priesthood. It was a Levitical priesthood. And the only thing that it can do as far as pointing forward to this royal priesthood that we are a part of is to foreshadow that. But here's what we have to understand. Here's what we have to know, that when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he brought an end to the old covenant. So the Levitical priesthood was now obsolete, and he ushered in a new covenant. And it's in this new covenant that we experience new birth. The Spirit of God writes his laws on our hearts and in our minds. We are the people of God. We know God. We know him personally. And we do all of that because our sins have been forgiven and God remembers them no more. That's what the sacrifice of Jesus Christ brought to every single believer. So in this, we have become a royal priesthood, a new covenant priesthood. Well, what did priests do? They represented God to the people. They represented people back to God. So what do we do as children of God? And this is true for every single believer. This isn't just for a certain group of people like the clergy. We've had this division between clergy and laity. Well, the Bible doesn't make that division. That's something that we have constructed. That's something that we have brought into being. The Word of God just simply declares us children of God. And in declaring us children of God, he has given us a ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. And so we beg people on behalf of Christ, as Christ ambassadors, that they be reconciled to God. So we are ministers of reconciliation. We are representing the good news of Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. We are ambassadors speaking the good word of Jesus to people out in the world today. That's representing God to the people in this world. We're also ministers of the new covenant. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3 that God had made him competent as a minister of the new covenant, not the old, but the new. Why? Because the old kills, but the new gives life. So we make an offer of life to people out there in the world.
Yeah.
They who are dead in sin can receive Jesus. And God uses our word concerning Jesus to draw people near unto him so that they can receive the good news. So as Peter says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's our priestly service, to declare the excellencies of God himself, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. What did the Levitical priesthood do? Well, they were employed in the religious life of the nation of Israel. And so they served at the temple. They offered sacrifices. That was what was prescribed for them to do. That's not what we're about. We're about declaring the excellencies of God the Father as ministers of reconciliation and as ministers of this new covenant.
Yes, indeed. Well, we appreciate hearing from Ron. Thank you for your question. And friends, again, that open line, 844-322-2742. Want to remind you to remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ is free, but bringing it to the airwaves and online, it's an expensive endeavor. And it's only because you give that others can hear, believe, and live in the good news and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get a chance, just drop by basicgospel.net and make a donation to help Basic Gospel keep the good news coming. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. And when you make that happen, be sure to click your choice of the DVD, USB thumb drive, or the digital download for your copy of Clean and Close, the new series by Andrew Farley. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift of support for the ministry of grace in Jesus Christ on Basic Gospel. And again, you can make that gift anytime at basicgospel.net. We'd love for you to partner with us.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Denver, Colorado, and talk to John listening to us on KRKS. Hi, John.
Hey, John.
Yeah, how are you?
We're doing wonderful. How about you?
Oh, I'm good. Hey, so the question I had is just regarding the rapture. I've heard some, what does the Bible say about the rapture? Because I've got some friends that, that's, he's going to come secretly and swoop us all up and then leave others behind, or others that say, no, that's not going to happen. So I just kind of want to get you guys' take on that, and I'm going to hang up and listen to the answer.
Okay. Well, John, thanks so much for your call. Well, there's not a lot said in the New Testament about, quote, a rapture. The main passage is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and Paul says this, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. So there was the question. My dad died 20 years ago. And I could question and wonder, well, what about him? Where is he now? What's going to happen to him in the future? And that was the question going on with the Thessalonians. They were wondering about those who had already died in Christ Jesus. So Paul is giving a word of encouragement and saying, hey, we don't want you to be uninformed. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. So what is he saying here? That when Jesus returns, he's going to bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up. And that's the word rapture, will be caught up. And it's from the Latin translation, this word caught up. That's where we get the word rapture, from the Latin translation. So we will be raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So what Paul is basically saying to us here is that there's going to come a time when we're all going to be united together in Christ. We're going to be united with those who preceded us in death. We are going to be united with those who went to be with the Lord on their last breath. And if we're here when Jesus comes back, then we're going to see those saints and our loved ones with the Lord. And then we're going to be caught up and we're going to be with the Lord and we're going to be together as the body of Christ. Now, talk about good news. Talk about hope. That is about as hopeful as you can get. And that's why Paul says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. So this is the signature passage when it comes to the rapture of the church. Now, where we've kind of gotten our stomachs tied in a knot and we're trying to figure all of this out is when we say, well, timing, when is this going to happen? Is this going to happen before the Great Tribulation? So does this precede the Great Tribulation? Is this the event that triggers that tribulation that's going to happen? Well, if you are a futurist as far as your eschatology is concerned, then that's how you've laid it out. There's going to be the rapture of the church. There's going to be a seven-year great tribulation. There's going to be a thousand-year reign. There's going to be the second coming and the white throne judgment, and all of that kind of ticks off like that. But I think in the Word of God that when we see this coming of the Lord, that Paul is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and all of this is going to happen at that particular moment in time. Now, people can disagree with that, and that's fine, and I can disagree with others, but that's fine. But one thing that we don't want to disagree with is this, that Jesus is coming back. Those who have died in Christ, they're going to be with him. And those of us, if we're the group that's going to be here when Christ returns, we're going to rise up, we're going to meet them in the air, and we're all going to be with the Lord forever. Now, I think those are words of encouragement for us individually and words that we can share one with another as words of encouragement to say, don't lose hope. There's good things coming at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And if we're here when that happens, we're going to be caught up. And boy, is that going to be a glorious moment for us all.
I know which one I prefer.
Yes.
The same one you do.
Yeah.
Come on, Lord, let's go.
Yes.
Well, friends, that's it for another edition of Basic Gospel. So glad you could be with us. Remember, it's because of you that we are here every weekday bringing you the good news of the gospel of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need your help now, as always, to ensure that the message continues to remain on the air and online. So donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of Andrew Farley's message, a series called Clean and Close. We want to put it in your hands as our thanks for your contribution to help Basic Gospel. Well, the listener line, of course, is always open for you around the clock. And for those of you who can't make the call during the live broadcast, you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, night or day, and voicemail your question to us, and we'll address it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back with us again tomorrow, same time,
for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.